I want to preach with a title that will cause you maybe to stiffen up for just a moment, and I want to explain why. I want to preach this morning on the necessity of works for salvation. The necessity of works for salvation. Let's take a look at a couple of passages. And the first one, let's turn to Ephesians. The Bible says that it's important to have a good name, is rather to be chosen than silver and riches. But there has a word in the Christian vocabulary that has, in the view of some people, been given a bad name. And that word is works. And I want to explain why it's been given a bad name, and then I hope to pull us out of that mindset. You may not have it. And to give it a proper good name. In Ephesians chapter 2, a verse that so many are familiar with. And that is found in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And verse 9 has been trumpeted over and over and over. Not of works, lest any man should boast. How many have heard that? How many believe that? I do believe that. However, when that is preached and the way grace has been preached, it has been out of balance. And let me share with you why. It is true that not of works, lest any man should boast. But works are required for salvation. What do you mean, Pastor? Works are required for salvation. I desire to show you. Not works that pertain to the law, but works that pertain to faith. And because we hear over and over, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, we are continually hearing it's not how good you are, it's he that paid the price. We totally agree with that theology. But if we only hear that, then the enemy of our soul can take the word works, and if we're not careful, we think works are not important, because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you now to turn to St. John chapter 6, because I want to, from a biblical standpoint, help us to look at works in another light. In St. John chapter 6, in his ministry, they came to him, and Jesus said something that prompted them to ask a question we're going to read about. In John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not, or work not, labor not, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." I want you to see that Jesus is encouraging working for spiritual food, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And so now he's gotten their attention. And they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. This is an active work. This is not just a mental agreement that he is who he says he is, because the word labor before is an ongoing process. So I want us this morning to recognize right away, yes, one is saved by grace. It is the gift of God and not of works. Well, according to that scripture, it really doesn't define faith. It tells us that we are saved for by grace are you saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yes, I thank God for grace, his love that he sent, his only begotten son, and that it goes on to say that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus said, would not perish but have everlasting life. We are well acquainted with grace. And works are important because the verse says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is faith that appropriates the grace, and not of works, lest any man should boast. What are the works it's referring to when it says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of works? The works in the context of that scripture is meeting the requirements of God's law. God sent and gave his law to Moses. And in that law, there are requirements. There were moral requirements and there were ceremonial requirements. Jesus is the only one that met all of the conditions of the law. He fulfilled, he even said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And Christ, his life, his work, his works met the conditions of the law. And because he was the spotless Lamb of God, he who knew no sin became sin. And so Jesus lived a life that you and I could not live due to our fallen nature, and we also chose. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the works that it is referring to in Ephesians that are required, he did it. His works, his life, met all of the conditions. But that is works pertaining to the law. And it is faith that appropriates the grace. And I want to speak today about the works that faith requires in order for the grace to be appropriated to our life. Because the verse that we read in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. You don't find any definition of faith. It just tells us that it's necessary to appropriate the grace. Are you with me this morning? So by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, and not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. But what is this faith that appropriates this grace? And it would do us well to now look in the scriptures and find this faith that is necessary to appropriate this wonderful grace. And yes, we are saved by grace. We're not saved by works, and the works that are referring to in the text is the works that the law requires. Paul says the law was given as a schoolmaster, not only to tell us how to live, but also within the law and the ceremony of the law were prophetic utterances of a Christ that was coming. In that law were moral requirements. In that law, Jesus fulfilled every bit of it. And his life were, and his works, that he met the condition. So that is works that we cannot do, and we come short. No one has kept all of the law of God. No one did what only Jesus could do. Aren't you glad Jesus did it for us? Now, when Jesus died, he never broke one law. He even said, "Which of you can convinceth me of sin?" He was surely the spotless Lamb of God without blemish. He did what we cannot do, and he paid for our sins, and we sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." We sing, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing, Amazing Grace." And rightfully so. We didn't deserve it. Therefore, we have no bragging rights on that aspect of works. But let me reinstate, grace saves us, not the works that we do when it comes to the law. His works concerning the law is what saves us. But if I can now pull your attention away from grace, and let us now examine the faith that this text speaks about, for we're going to find that faith is what connects us to this amazing grace that saves us. Now, we hear over and over again, I want to say, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so how often I've heard in conversations, well, you know, it's not of works, it's not of works, it's not of works, but just hold on to your britches, because we need to bring in the whole Bible, and works are not necessary when it comes to grace, but works are necessary when it comes to your faith. And this is what we are not hearing often in the lopsided message of grace. Let me now try to give an illustration that is rather crude, and if you follow it to many points, it will fail, but it will succeed in this one point I'm going to hopefully bring to our attention. And this is the illustration. You're on an island, and you can't swim. And you know that the island is soon going to be underwater. The tide is rising. You have just been on another ship and it broke apart. And you ended up on the island and there is a small inner tube that you noticed that washed ashore along with you from the ship that you were on. You're the only survivor. You're on this island. There's no food. There's no water. And you know that you have no future on this island. You must get off. But a mile out at sea, there is a large ship. We're going to call it the ship of grace or the ship of salvation. You can only see it at certain times because the fog is between you and the ship. When you got on the island, you looked and you saw it, and you waved and you waved, but they didn't see you. And the ship, that big ship, cannot come to you because the waters are shallow and the ship would break upon the rocks. But this ship out there, we're going to call grace. We're going to call this ship salvation. And you know, if I can only get to that ship, I will be saved. If I can only get to it, it cannot come to me. I must go to it. Now, I do have a rubber raft, and this rubber raft, it keeps deflating. I blow it up, and it holds up for about a day, but then it slowly begins to go down. Anybody ever have a raft like that, that you have to keep blowing it up? Well, we're going to call this little rubber raft faith. And the only way you can get to that ship is when the fog lifts and you see it, and you get in your little rubber raft, and you can't swim. There are sharks out there, and you know it's the only way you can get to the ship of grace or salvation that you can be saved. I use that as an illustration to try to show the differences of each of us. But this little rubber raft that you have, you blow it up, but it doesn't stay blowed up. And that is the way faith works in our life. You can have faith, and yet you must constantly work at that faith to keep it full, so when the time comes and the fog is lifted, because how many know the Bible says you can't come to God anytime you want? And so when the fog is lifted, and now is the time, today is the day of salvation. Now, the only way you're going to be able to get to that ship of salvation is by your little rubber raft. And without that raft, you will die. And therefore, this little rubber raft we're going to call faith. And it is that little rubber raft that will take you to that ship. I've used that as a crude illustration, but it is exactly what the scriptures teach. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, I want you to know that God has given everybody a rubber raft. The scripture says in Romans 12, verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly," and here it is, "as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Do you know he gives every man a rubber raft? He gives every man faith to be able to appropriate that faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it must be used. Just that little rubber raft sitting there will not save you. How many know you got to get on that little thing and you got to start paddling and to get out to the ship of grace that you might be saved? And so, because he says in Romans that he has dealt, that don't mean God's a poker player handing out cards. He has dealt to every man a measure of faith. That's why I don't believe in atheists. Nobody starts off being an atheist. Everybody is given faith and an awareness there's a God, but that faith must be put in gear and not left in neutral. And that is why they may get bitter at God, and that's their way of punishing God. But oh no, every man is given a measure of faith. Now, this faith, when it is put in gear, and when you finally reach that ship and you get aboard, now it's called holy faith. Now it's called precious faith. And in the book of Jude, as Paul says, God hath dealt unto every man a measure of faith. The book of Jude describes it in another way, and it says that we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So we had faith delivered to us, we had faith dealt to us, and when we use our faith and we exercise it and we appropriate it and we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then you are saved. The man that was on the cross You say, well, did he appropriate his faith and did he put works to it? Yes. When he said, Lord, remember me, that was exercising his faith. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, in the Bible, we read that Jesus focused constantly on people's faith. He didn't focus much on your looks. He didn't focus much on your talent. He focused not much on your other aspects, your race, your height, etc. But you do find Jesus continually focusing his attention on people's faith. Only two times in Scripture does Jesus compliment someone for having great faith. And what's interesting, in both cases where he complimented someone for having great faith, they were not Jews. They were people not of the Jewish faith, which maybe made it even greater. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, and also Luke chapter 7, verse 9. This is the story when it was the centurion soldier that said to the Lord, having someone back home that was very sick, he said to Jesus, you don't need to come to the house, just speak the word, because I'm a man of authority, and I say to this one, go, and he goeth. And Lord, I recognize in you, you have all authority. And Jesus says to him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. I want you to notice that Jesus is looking continually at your faith. You say, well, I think my moods get his attention. Your faith will get his attention far better than your mood will. And also, the second one that he noticed their great faith was the Syrophoenician woman. And that's found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now, this woman had a daughter, and she continually was calling out to the Lord, and the Lord kept purposefully ignoring her, and the disciples, I'm sure, were trying to hush her, but she had a determination. Her faith wasn't about to let go. And she kept, and she finally responded and said, when he made the comment, it is not meet to give the food, the children's bread unto dogs, meaning her being a Gentile. But she responded and said, yes, Lord, but I see you are so great that even the crumbs, you're so great. If you want to call me a dog, so be it. But even the dogs get to eat from their master's table. And I see in you such a wonderful nature that your love is for everyone. And Jesus, he was impressed and he bragged on her faith. Now, the difference between the works of the law that no man can boast, do you know that faith does receive boasting? You may not be able to boast on your own faith, but the Lord boasts on your faith, and he'll either criticize it, or he'll make mention of it, or he will compliment it. And he says to this woman, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole even from that hour. Now, other times he made a compliment about one's faith. He may not call it great, but he did say, as we heard in the prayer of Brian this morning, be it as thy faith. Did you hear that in his prayer this morning? And Jesus is continually making comments about people's faith. In Matthew 9, verse 22, we read, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now notice, he didn't call it great faith, but he still acknowledged it. And it was of such a quality that it brought the desired results that she had. We read of the two blind men that were following him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe you that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." What I want you to see is notice the responsibility for the condition of one's faith is placed on the person. He gives to every man a measure of faith, but it is your responsibility that cannot be given to another on whether your faith grows or whether your faith shrinks and whether your faith actually can become dead, for faith without works is dead. And because the responsibility of one's faith is placed on you, the condition of your faith is left up to you. And it is for that reason the Lord can brag and the Lord can criticize. In Matthew 8, verse 26, we read Jesus said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Matthew 14, 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand." Remember, this is when Peter was doing good, walking on the water until he hit that hole. And he began to shrink and sink, and he cried out. And finally Jesus, he kind of chided him, and he said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" Now, whether the person received a compliment or a criticism, what I want you to understand is Jesus would not compliment someone for something they have nothing to do with. Jesus would not compliment a person for their good looks. You know why that is? Because if anybody has good looks, they didn't have a thing to do with it. Like me. Boy, am I headed for some humility. If somebody did wrong, if they weren't responsible, the Lord would not hold them accountable. But Jesus, you never find him complimenting somebody that had a lot of talent. Because the Bible says every good gift and perfect gift cometh from above. And so the Lord knows if a person has talent, they had nothing to do with them receiving those talents. Now, they might be complimented if they take those talents and they don't bury them, but they use them. And we read that when he comes to reward them for using them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were given two talents," and you might find that. But you won't find the Lord complimenting someone when they didn't deserve the compliment. You won't find the Lord criticizing someone when they're not responsible for the criticism. If he criticizes, it's because they're responsible. I say that because Jesus holds us accountable for the condition of our faith that Romans says to every man is given a measure of. You say, "Well, what can I do to help my faith?" The Bible gives all kinds of things that you can do to increase your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it must be exercised. And the reason I say that is Jesus compliments them on their faith because they did something with their faith. They had some works with their faith. They exercised their faith. Faith is like a muscle. I remember when I broke my elbow, it was put in a cast. And I didn't use it for about, I don't know how long it was in the cast, but when the cast was taken off, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even move it. It was because it had not been exercised. How many know your faith that way? And faith must be exercised. And the only reason Jesus is complimenting or criticizing someone's faith is because they are responsible for the condition or quality of the faith that he gave. Your faith can grow, it can shrink, and the quality of it can improve. Faith must be maintained. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I want to ask you, are you exercising your faith? Are you doing things that help your faith? Or faith is like a gear on a car. You must put it in gear. And faith in neutral will not move the car. I always remember a fellow that we were playing baseball in my neighborhood, and a lady was driving through it and it stopped the whole game, and she finally stopped. And old Lee Anderson walked up to her to try to get her to move on. He says, "Now put your clutch in, now put it in gear." It was maybe a little cocky and rude, but I never forgot the words. Faith is like that. And oh, how often ministers want to say, "Come on now, put it in gear, let's get going." And faith must be maintained. Are you maintaining your faith? And that is what is called works. Faith without works is dead. And works are necessary to keep faith alive and well. And the quality of our faith can be improved. If you do not act upon what you believe, then your believing can be vain and dead. Let me repeat. You are responsible for the contents and the quality of your faith that He has given. It is true, the law requires works, but faith requires works in order to appropriate that faith to get to that ship called grace. James says, by Abraham's works, his faith was made perfect. His work was that he acted upon what he was told to do. Jesus will not do your job when it comes to you exercising your faith. In fact, it even says that he could not do many mighty works in their midst because of their unbelief. Their faith was left in neutral. And you see, works are required for your faith. Now, to every man is given a measure of faith, but works are required to keep the boat. As much as on that island, I have to keep that little raft continually inflated. May I say to you, faith is that way. When Jesus, he made that comment, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but then labor for spiritual meat. And so that triggered the imagination and a question, being a healthy one in the disciples. And they said, "Well, what must we do to work the works of God?" And Jesus said, he put it back into faith. Believe. And that believing is an ongoing thing. Keep on believing. Keep on faithing. In fact, in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, we find these words. How many know Jesus is coming back? And here's what Jesus said that ought to make us want to blow our raft up real good. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" He's not looking for an empty raft. He's looking for one that is alive and well and is one that is pleasing. You can't even please God without faith. And that's why it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And in this story, when Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith is he talking about? If you'll just read the verses before, it tells us the kind of faith that he's looking for. It is the story of the woman who went to the unjust judge. And remember, the judge wouldn't hear her, but she kept going back. She kept going back. She kept going back. And Jesus complimented the persistence of the woman who kept going back. And with that, he broke right into his lesson on, as she labored, you ought to labor for the spiritual meat. As she kept going to the judge for justice, you need to keep coming back for the spiritual food. You need to keep exercising your faith. What must we do? I've been telling you, believe on the Lord. Keep exercising your faith. And it is for this reason, faith must have works in order to be acceptable. Yes, works are required concerning your faith. No, works are not required for grace, but works are required for faith to appropriate the grace. And there is boasting. You may not boast on your faith, but God boasts on your faith. And we can boast on one another's faith. Years ago, and you'll know who I'm talking about in a little bit, on TV, about 20 years ago, I watched this man on TV, and his one message was grace and faith. I believe he totally represented it wrong. He would continually emphasize, works are not necessary. It's not your goodness. It's not your goodness. And he'd continue to blow smoke at you and smoke his cigar. And he would continue to let women, about six of them, go around in rollerblades and hot pants as he gets into his limousine. And he would cuss like a sailor. His name was Gene Scott. How many remember him? And Gene Scott, he would continually flaunt that it's just believing, it's just believing. And oh, people like that because it doesn't put any responsibility on me. And he continued to flaunt this amazing grace and turn it to disgusting grace because he did not apply works to the faith. And he would not be able to say it's holy faith because he was disgusting with that type of a lifestyle. And I don't say this boasting like I'm better than him. I better have a better life than that. And they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. I'll let God be the judge. But his faith had no works. In fact, it finally came. He found out he had cancer. And now I watched his message near the end. It was amazing how he cleaned up his act. It's amazing how he quit puffing that cigar. It's amazing how he quit his cussing. It's amazing how those six girls on rollerblades no longer were on his show. And now he went back to his old roots and he began to preach, I believe, a more acceptable gospel. I don't know what happened to him. But I know that that trash was spread and is in the back of many people's minds because it gave works a bad name. He continually said, it's not of works, it's not of works. But it's amazing how he never brought out how faith needs works. Oh, he talked about believing, but his believing never affected his own conduct. Now, what are the works that faith offers? How many have ever seen in the paper employment and jobs, and you go there for work? You know that faith has a list of work, and it's wanting to enroll many people. The works that faith is saying, I want you to come to work, I want you to come to work, is found in Hebrews chapter 11. It is called the Hall of Fame of those who had faith, exercised their faith, and pleased God as a result of it. And it was their faith that was worth bragging on. Jesus, when he came in contact with great faith, he bragged on it. And now that Jesus is gone, the Holy Spirit is anointing the author of Hebrews, and the 11th chapter of Hebrews is bragging on all these people on their faith. And let's take a look, because this is what faith is wanting to employ you. It's wanting you to come and enlist and go to work. You see, faith has character. I mentioned about 3 months ago, whenever we remove character from faith, we've destroyed faith. Faith has character. And you see the character qualities that made it alive and worth bragging on. You see these characteristics that made it great. And by the way, it pays well. The wages are great when you let faith enlist you. Remember, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. This faith is wanting to enroll our works. Let's examine this faith that had works. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to stop right there. It's describing faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. hoped for. Do you know that faith will give you right desires? Faith will give you just desires. Faith doesn't have fleshly desires. Faith has godly desires. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And faith has good desires, and those good desires must be acted upon. I want to ask you, do you desire to see your loved one saved? That's a good desire. That's faith. That is faith. That in the mixture of that, there's faith. And do you call on God for them to be saved? And oh, you cry out. That's faith. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. And do you desire that God would use you more and for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? That's faith, because the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith has godly desires. Faith desires to be used of God. Faith, we're encouraged, covet earnestly the best gifts. When you pray, pray with zeal, pray with earnestness. Oh, God, use me. Lord, I covet your gifts of the Holy Spirit. Faith has godly desires. Faith said like David, oh, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. True faith desires the things of God. Exercise that faith. True faith desires to know him, as Paul said, oh, that I might know him. True faith desires fellowship with God's people. True faith desires the Holy Spirit. True faith puts a want in you for the things of God. True faith wants the kingdom of God. True faith just wants God, the things hoped for. Enoch is someone that had works with his faith. His faith wasn't a doormat. No, true faith is active. Enoch was translated, for he had this testimony that he pleased God. His life, he just lived to please God. It had hope, it had desire. True faith has within it the desire to please God. And God just finally said, Enoch, you please me so much, just come on up here. Do you desire to please God? Are you acting on your faith, or is it just some intellectual concept? Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Do you know that faith will obey? True faith that pleases God obeys when God tells you what to do, and you believe it, and you act on it. Hebrews 11:24, by faith. Now please notice, it's always by faith. And then it'll give you a quality that this faith had. And it was works. When he, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God. I want you to see the character in faith. And the character in Moses that faith was producing. Faith will make choices. Faith is willing to suffer. Faith is willing to choose to do right. Faith fights sin. Faith will fight sin. He chose rather to suffer with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. True faith always fights sin. Hebrews 11:27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Faith is willing to give things up. True faith leaves behind the old life. True faith makes changes. True faith fights. How many know we're in a battle? We're in a battle, my goodness. And that's why he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And true faith puts on the breastplate, and it takes the shield of faith. But not only does faith withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. Is anybody here having attacks in your mind and you've been battling depression or battling feelings of loneliness? Get your faith in gear. Put your shield up. And not only should you take a defensive position, faith fights. Faith moves ahead. Faith says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Faith says, I'm going to believe God. Folks, let's believe God for a revival. Let's believe God for our loved ones. That's what faith does. It gets active. Not only is faith in a defensive posture with the shield of faith, but faith takes the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Faith holds on to this. Faith says, like the three Hebrew children, O King, be it known unto thee, the God in whom we serve, He is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us. But if He don't deliver us, we're not bowing down. Faith has dedication. That's put in gear. Faith says, like the four lepers, why sit here till we die? Let's move ahead. Faith is like the 10 spies that had no faith, and their faith was not in the promise of God. But the two that had faith said, like Caleb and Joshua, no, we are able. God promised us. Let's believe it. Let's move ahead. That's what faith does. Faith wants to enroll you. It doesn't want just to hear a story and say, yes, is your faith engaged? Folks, I want us to rise up and believe God. When I came here, you know what God spoke to my heart? Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You saw one this morning, Doug, who God got a hold of. That's a great and mighty thing. And I didn't know it was coming, but it came. And I want you to know, anytime anybody comes to the Lord, it's a great and mighty thing. Let us contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Faith fights. Faith says, let's rise up and believe God. Faith wants to see miracles. It has strong desires. Hallelujah. If I was in a church that was black, they'd be around the aisles. But let's stand, shall we? Folks, faith doesn't sit still. Faith has got to be exercised. You want to please God? Fight the good fight of faith. What must we do to work the works of God? Believe. Keep believing. Put it in practice. Move ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. When I hear somebody just, oh, blah, 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 I want to have compassion for them, but somehow I want to encourage them. Come on, let's believe God. He's going to help you. All things work together for them that love God and are called according to His purpose. If you let your moods dictate you, you're going to lose. Rise up, old church. Rise up and believe God and fight the good fight of faith. And that's what Jesus wants to see. And without those works, you'll have a hard time reaching the ship. Keep your faith inflated. Keep it active. Keep reading it. When you came to church this morning, you know what you're doing? You're exercising your faith. When I see people lay out of church for a long time, you know what they're doing? Their thing's going low. It's running out. And when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith? Will He find it full on the earth? God don't let you use air pumps. You got to blow it with your own lips. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Oh God, may we exercise what You've given us. To every man's been given a measure of faith. Lord, this is not a salvation by works, but it's a faith by works. And oh God, great things are awaiting us. May we believe You. Lord, bless those that have faith. Increase their faith. As the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Oh, keep faith and keep believing God. May our faith affect our conduct. May it affect our life. May it affect our witness. May it affect our speech. May it affect our mood. May it affect our church attendance. May it affect our Bible reading. May it affect our prayer life. May faith be implemented into every part of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Keep faithing. Keep believing. Praise the Lord. Faith praises the Lord. Jacob worshiped.